Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked On Wolves. Today on the show, the biggest problems from a rough weekend for the Timberwolves and their loss to Charlotte on Friday, their loss to Golden State Sunday. What were the biggest issues? We'll talk all about that. We'll also preview Wolves Clippers on Tuesday night, the late game on TNT. It's all coming on the show. Welcome in. You are Locked On Wolves.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Happy Timberwolves game day. The Timberwolves play the Los Angeles Clippers on the road Tuesday night, the late game on TNT. So we'll talk about that later in the show. Plenty to get to first, though. First of all, a big thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Of course, this show is free and available everywhere. That includes YouTube as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. You can also watch on the Locked On Sports Minnesota app on both Roku and Amazon Fire TV. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T Wolves. Don't forget the T, and at B Beacon with two B's, two E's, C K E N. We'll get to Wolves Clippers later. We'll also talk a little bit about Jaden McDaniels and Naz Reid, the national attention they're getting. What folks are saying about them in various places, various corners of the internet. We'll do that next segment. First, though, I want to talk about the weekend that was. The Timberwolves dropped a really disappointing home contest to the Charlotte Hornets on Friday. Of course, Charlotte with the fourth worst record in the league. Hornets actually went out and won the next night on Saturday, too, on the road. But a really disappointing loss for the Wolves coming out of the break. And then Sunday against a really shorthanded Golden State Warriors team, a winnable game. They're up double figures midway through the fourth quarter. And drop that game as well. So I want to talk both of those and what the, I guess, common threads were between the two losses. And they're not uncommon problems for this year's Timberwolves team. This edition of the Timberwolves has had a handful of issues all season, right? The biggest problems over the course of the season have been transition offense and defense, just in general transition, right? Limiting fast break points, opportunities for the other team, and also scoring efficiently and consistently in the open floor offensively. That's been an issue for much of the season. Point of attack defense has been spotty, although much improved of late. That actually has been less of a concern over the past few weeks. I'd say even going back to really the first of the year. So we won't focus as much on that. Turnovers offensively have been a big issue. That's been a consistent thread, and a little, we'll talk about a little bit related to this weekend, and then defensive rebounding. Most of these are problems that persist from last year, especially the latter two. Again, the point of attack defense has been shored up a little bit. I would actually argue it's been better this year than it was for most of last season. Now on the flip side, transition offense really has been much worse this season. And that is not something that was a problem last year. This weekend, however, there have been three things I want to focus on. One, turnovers. Let's start there. And actually, I would rank this as the third, the least of the three issues. It's related to one of the other ones that I'll get to in a minute. But because it's not the sheer volume of turnovers, right? Like actually the Wolves and Warriors on Sunday both finished with the exact same number of turnovers. Each team had 16 turnovers, so you'd look at the box score, and if you didn't watch the game, you'd say, okay, well, that's a wash. Well, the Timberwolves had a double-digit lead. It was like 20-8 or something in the first quarter, and all of a sudden, it was like 5 out of 7 possessions, or it was either 4 out of 5 or 5 out of 7 possessions were just straight turnovers for Minnesota. Sloppy. Jordan McLaughlin threw the ball away. Mike Conley threw the ball away. There was a couple of bad Nickeil Alexander-Walker turnovers, like just a really poor stretch of basketball for Minnesota. And just like that, the Warriors are right back in the game. Now, does that happen anyway over the course of the game? Maybe, probably, but it's these stretches that are completely avoidable. And turnovers, I actually think that, I believe Mike Conley said this at the end of the first quarter. He did the interview on ESPN in between quarters, and he said something to the effect of, turnovers are usually self-inflicted, and we just have to clean those up. Well, that's absolutely what happened in this game. The Wolves had 16 of them, 5 of them by Anthony Edwards. Nobody else had individually more than 2 on the Timberwolves. And, well, again, the box score doesn't look all that hideous. it was an issue in key moments of this game. And on Friday, going back to Friday's loss to Charlotte, the Timberwolves committed 15 turnovers, Charlotte only 11. So 15 turnovers Friday, 16 turnovers on Sunday. I mean, like, it's not a recipe to win basketball games. The Timberwolves on the season are 28th in the league in turnovers per game. They average 15.7. So right at their averages, right? 15 one night, 16 the other. They average 15.7 a game. They are 28th in turnovers per game. They are 28th in turnover rate, 13.9%. So 13.9% of the time, so greater than one out of every 10 possessions, the Timberwolves are turning the ball over. That's a really bad rate for a team. And that's also a huge reason why the Timberwolves offense is currently 23rd in offensive rating at basketballreference.com. A big problem related to that. And I would say this is the second biggest issue is just the disjointed offense. And Marnie Gellner from Bally Sports North, Marnie and I talked about this on the postcast. Well, actually both Friday and Sunday, but following the Warriors game last night, Sunday night, how disjointed the Timberwolves offense was. And there was no Rudy Gobert, and we know there's no Karl-Anthony Towns, but this has been a consistent theme. And of late, even though the Wolves offensively, like early in both of these games, were competitive, like the Wolves had a pair of 32-point quarters against Charlotte on Friday, and they had, 34 in the first quarter against Golden State on Sunday, none of it felt... there was no fluidity to it. It was disjointed is probably the best word to say it. And yes, Anthony Edwards, you know, did some good things, especially against Charlotte. And, you know, Mike Conley had a nice game. Rudy Gobert was actually pretty good Friday. Naz Reid had a big first quarter on Sunday. There's no consistency. There's no flow to the Timberwolves offense. Very, very robotic almost. And at times completely chaotic. But somehow in a robotic way. Like, for instance, the second half, go back and watch the second half of the Golden State game, or don't, I guess, because why would you want to? On Sunday, I said the third quarter was fine, but anyway. And it just a lot of five out. Like, the Wolves were barely running sets. They occasionally would end up in a horn set and kind of, you know, run a little bit of action, but then it would end up with kind of a late clock pick and roll at the top and probably lead to a miscontested jumper. They weren't getting to the line often. They weren't getting into the paint very often. They were missing the shots a lot when they got into the paint against the Draymond Green-less and Andrew Wiggins-less Golden State Warriors team. Just very disjointed offense. And you know, we'll talk about this a little next segment, but where does the offense come from for a team with only Anthony Edwards that's a high-usage player on the floor? Even in this game, no Jalen Noel, right? No Gobert, no Jalen Noel, of course, no Karl-Anthony Towns, not even a Torian Prince, who, not like he's a high-volume scorer, but he's, for the Wolves, one of their top, like, 3 3-point shooters. So where's your offense going to come from? And sure enough, nobody scored more than 12 points except for Naz Reid in this game. Ant had 12 points on 19 shots against Golden State. Naz had 30 points, and 22 of those were in the first half. Going back to Friday against Charlotte, Ant had 29 on 26 shots. And you at least got a little bit of help from Rudy with 17 and 10. Conley had 15. And then off the bench, Naz Reid had 16 in that game too. But the offensive consistency and the level of disjointedness, lack of consistency and the level of disjointedness has been an issue. And Marnie and I talked about this too, but where's the offense going to come from? And where's the flow, right? Like, there's good teams that can operate without stars, Golden State being a good example, because there's flow in their offense. They know what sets they're running. Of course, it helps have Klay Thompson, who you just run a bunch of stuff for him coming off of pin downs and drag screens and get him open. Like, that's what Klay does, right? That helps. Whereas the Wolves don't, you know, they don't run plays like that usually for Ant. They'll occasionally run a flare screen to get him a jumper from the wing or something, but it's mostly pick and roll. It's mostly dribble handoff. And the Wolves struggle when teams go zone. They struggle when teams kind of mix things up defensively, when they switch things and they try and trap Ant. The Wolves need to scheme themselves. Chris Finch needs to scheme them. They need to do something when Ant is the only offensive player on the floor, the only high-usage offensive guy available, not even on the floor, but available to the team. There's teams that are still able to score, and the Wolves are really struggling to do that. The last thing, and the most significant in my opinion, is Well, actually, let's do that here next. We'll do the last thing here next. Then I want to talk Jaden and Naz Reid. And then lastly, we'll get to the Wolves Clippers preview. We'll do all that here next. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to us by our friends at Built Bar. If you're looking for a delicious treat, but you don't want all the fat and calories, then you have to try a Built Bar. We're now through February, last day of February here today. And I know my goal, only a couple weeks after Valentine's Day, my kids, there's still Valentine's candy in the house. I'm trying to eat a little healthier this year. And if you're like me and you want to eat healthier, but you don't want to compromise taste, then I've got just the thing for you. You have to try Built. With Built, healthy is actually tasty. Seriously, they're so delicious that you won't even think that they're good for you. And if you're wondering what makes Built Bars so good, well, it's easy. They're covered in 100% real chocolate. That's right, real chocolate. And they come in unbelievable flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, and coconut almond. I don't know how Built does it, but these bars taste like a candy bar while maintaining amazing macros. And what's even better is that they're healthy. Only 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar with a whopping 17 grams of protein. And now you don't need to wait around to get a box. For years on Locked On Wolves, literally years, we've been talking about ordering your Built bars at Built.com. You can still do that, of course, but now you can get them at your local Walmart or Sam's Club. That's right. Head to your nearest Walmart today, walk to the pharmacy section, and grab yourself a box of Built Bars. You can pick up a 4-bar box of cookies and cream, double chocolate, or coconut puffs. If you're close to Sam's Club, run in and grab a 13-bar box with the hit flavors brownie batter and churro. Just make sure to thank me later. All right, the three biggest issues for the Timberwolves Friday and Sunday. Number one was turnovers, the timeliness of the turnovers, the runs they allowed because of these kind of like segments of the game where it's just turnover city for the Timberwolves. Second thing is the disjointed offense. Where does the offense come from besides Anthony Edwards? Where do the Wolves turn? Like, can they figure out some flow within their offense? The last thing is opponent second chance points. If you've listened to the show at all the last couple of years, I've been harping on this. And you can go back to the Ryan Saunders Timberwolves teams. I could have pulled all these. Actually, I could just scroll backwards right now on Basketball Reference and tell you where the Timberwolves have ranked defensive rebounding over the last several years. It's not good. They're 28th so far this season. They were 27th last season in defensive rebounding rate. Go back 2 years. So this is the Saunders and Finch split year, the second COVID-shortened season. The Wolves were 24th in defensive rebound rate. Go back to the full, well, I guess the first COVID-shortened Ryan Saunders year. They were actually 18th in defensive rebound rate, which, like, hey, grand scheme of things, that's not too bad. And then you go all the way back to the year Tom Thibodeau was fired in 18-19 and Saunders took over midseason. That team was 27th in rebound rate, defensive rebound rate. So the best finish was 18th. The next best, though, was 24th. And you talk about this season in the 22-23 season, the Timberwolves are 28th, 73.6% in defensive rebound rate. The offensive rebound rate has fluctuated. Last year was pretty good. This year it's not. But defensive rebound rate has been a consistent issue for the Timberwolves. And I've said this before on the show, but I haven't said it in a while. So if you're new to the show, let me, like, this is elementary, right? If you watch basketball, this is elementary. But it should not go without saying. Like, we need to remind ourselves, the only ways you can end a possession, and I explained this to my 8U basketball team this year to try and get them to rebound the ball better. The only ways you end a possession for the opponent is if they score, they turn it over, or you get a rebound. That's it. If you don't get a rebound and they don't turn it over, the only way you're getting the ball back is if they score. So defensive rebounding is inherently part of defense. And I think that that gets overlooked too often when we're talking about like suppressing opponent field goal percentage. Like, yeah, that's important. And not to mention there's a lot of noise to that, right? Like there's a lot of other factors if you're just looking at opponent field goal percentage. But anyway, obviously that's important, right? Like you want your opponent to miss the shot. That's the whole reason why you contest shots. But if you don't get a rebound, it doesn't matter. They're just going to shoot all day and eventually one's going to go in. And that's what happens against the Timberwolves far too often. And it's not always gaudy. Like you're not always looking at the box score and it's like 20 offensive rebounds to 4. Like it's not usually quite that bad, but it's the inopportune moments when opponents get those rebounds. And also it really adds up. Like even if it's only, so the Charlotte game on Friday, Charlotte had 4 offensive rebounds more than the Timberwolves. They had 11 offensive rebounds. The Wolves had 7. In that game, overall, the Wolves were a -7 on the glass. Against the Warriors on Sunday, Golden State had 16 offensive rebounds. The Wolves had 10. Overall, Golden State was a +13. The Wolves were a -13 on the glass. Kevon Looney had 7 offensive rebounds. As the Warriors were coming back in the fourth quarter of that game and outscoring the Wolves 31-17 in the fourth quarter, offensive rebound was a big part of that for Golden State. And that's just never been a part of the Timberwolves game this year. Like, Rudy Gobert is like the only plus offensive rebounder on this team for Minnesota. And Karl Anthony Towns would contribute, obviously, if he was healthy. But his rebound numbers have been down the last year and a half as well. So defensive rebounding, and for a while, like, I was harping on Ant being a big part of this. He's actually improved a little bit. They need Jade McDaniels to come to the party. He's got to rebound the basketball better. He does. Nas has been much better this year than he has for much of his career. But there could still be some improvement there, especially when he is the center. Right? This is where I wonder if, like, hey, Josh Minot, I mean, Josh Minot was active. Wendell Moore Jr. was with the Iowa Wolves, but Josh Minot was active the other day. Josh Minot can rebound the basketball. He's done it in the G League. He's done it in limited minutes at the NBA level. Throw him out there. If nobody's going to get a board, see what Josh Minot could do. He's athletic. He's long. He's going to play hard. Right? The effort level matters so much. Like, what? Look what Luka Garza did the other night. He had like three impossible offensive rebounds in a row in that game against Golden State. I guess he only technically had two offensive rebounds, but I think he was fouled getting to one, so it didn't count. But just the effort level, the activity, and not just offensive, like defensive rebounding was the point, but also offensive rebounding, right? Like, the Wolves aren't great there either so far this season. They're actually, 26th in offensive rebound rate. So they're 26th in offensive rebound rate, 28th in defensive rebound rate. It's not a recipe for success. You can't get killed on the glass every night and also be bad in transition and also turn the ball over and expect to win games. These issues compound one another. And defensive rebounding is, to me, the biggest issue of all these. All right. Shifting gears here, I want to turn and look at some national chatter about Naz Reid and Jade McDaniels. We can start with Naz. Everybody, you know, people have been talking about him going back to the trade deadline as a possible trade candidate. I didn't think it was ever likely the Wolves would trade him because, what are you going to get back for a guy in a minimum deal? You're not going to get back a useful rotation player that's better than Naz Reid, and you're not probably going to get a first round pick for Naz. And if someone's just offered a second or two, like, the Wolves are still in the playoff hunt this year, why would you trade Naz when you have Karl Anthony Towns injured? Rudy's missed some games. Like, it made sense to me why the Wolves did not trade Naz Reid. But the chatter was that something like almost half, like a third to a half of the teams in the league had reached out and inquired about Naz. So he was part of an ESPN article about takeaways from the weekend from ESPN insiders. And Kevin Pelton, of course, the analytically inclined writer at ESPN, reporter at ESPN, talked about Naz Reid and how well he'd played recently and how it's not just been empty stats. He's started 11 times this year. One was as a power forward with Rudy Gobert. The other 10 have been as a center. The Wolves are 7-4 in games that Naz Reid starts, even though they lost on Sunday. And then he talks a little bit about options for the Wolves in the offseason. They could extend Naz Reid. Remember, he's an unrestricted free agent. They could offer an extension of up to $58 million over 4 years, or they could use that. That would be an extension. Or if he hits free agency, the Wolves could use their full bird rights to extend him for whatever they want to do because they have bird rights, right? Now, of course, the Wolves don't want to pay the luxury tax. They're more likely to extend him for the 4 years, $58 million. It's a lot of money to tie up in the third center on a roster with two all-NBA, all-star caliber bigs in Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns. And then he talks about some other options. They could waive Taurean Prince. Remember, he's under contract next year, but it's non-guaranteed, I think, within 2 days of the NBA draft in June. And then they also have a couple other free agents who I think they're less likely to re-sign, and Nickeil Alexander-Walker and Jalen Noel. I think they just as soon keep Prince in that regard. But Pelton mentions the Spurs. The only team he mentions is a team with cap space. It's more of an example, I think, than anything else. But, you know, what do the Wolves do with Naz in free agency? It really seems like they want to extend him, but do you want all that capital tied up in three centers when you have a, you know, point guards filled next year, technically with Mike Conley, but there's other needs on this roster, right? Like, you don't tying up that much money in a big or in one spot, really, in center, it feels precarious to me. Now that's a conversation we'll have a lot more of as we get into the offseason, but I wanted to throw that out there that Kevin Pelton at ESPN wrote about that. The last thing is just some quick Jade McDaniels chatter. He's finally getting some love nationally for his defense, and the Twitter account NBA University, which is a pretty good follow, in general. But they pulled some, I'm giving them credit because they pulled these stats. The stats are actually from B-Ball Index, so I cite on the show pretty frequently. But they pulled this all into a nice graphic, and it went viral. It got a lot of run on Twitter, got a lot of attention. And they pulled together his defensive profile. And I'll just read what the tweet says. They said, Jaden McDaniels is one of the best defenders in the NBA at 22. League toughest matchup difficulty. Yet he's holding stars to 32% shooting in isolation, all while being a top five weak side rim protector with monstrous versatility to guard up and down the lineup. All defense him. This was also retweeted by Paolo Banchero, by the way, the fantastic rookie for the Orlando Magic. McDaniels is an A-plus 100th percentile, league best in matchup difficulty, an A-plus in 99th percentile in ball screen navigation, so getting through ball screens, A-plus in adjusted rim point save, 99th percentile, and an A in rim defensive field goal percentage versus expected 94th percentile. And more than half of his minutes have come matched up against opposing guards, like ball handling lead guards, shooting guards, point guards, which is really interesting and not surprising, I guess, if you've watched the Wolves. But he is the primary ball handler defender. Coming into the season, I thought maybe Ant would get a lot of those assignments and that McDaniels would end up on opposing wings. But so often now in the NBA, the opposing the star scorer on the other team isn't always a wing. It's a lot of times a lead guard, whether that by name is shooting guard or point guard. It's whoever's handling the ball a lot in the half court, right? It's your, just throwing out a couple examples, Luka Doncic, James Harden, obviously like a Steph Curry. A number of those really difficult assignments that are going to be picked up by Jaden McDaniels. And he's, of course, more than held his own this season. There's been a couple tougher games lately, but you know the Wolves defense as a whole hasn't been quite what it needs to be lately either. So great to see McDaniels get some love here nationally. Who knows what that's going to look like all defense wise, especially at the Wolves. I mean, the Wolves right now are a top 10 defense. They're 10th in defensive rating. So if they finish there as a top 10 defense and say finish above 500, I think there's a pretty good case for Jaden McDaniels to make all defense. All right, let's close today's show by talking about the Wolves Clippers matchup here on Tuesday night. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to us by our friends at LinkedIn. These days, every new potential hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for your small business. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best qualified candidates available. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps find the right people for your team faster and for free. It's extremely easy to create a free job post on LinkedIn Jobs. You simply add your job and the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. It's time, you know, 2 months into the year, it's time to continue to really close out the first quarter of the year strong, finding the right team member that just might help you do exactly that. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates that you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNBA. That's linkedin.com/lockedonNBA to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. All right, Timberwolves Clippers on Tuesday night. This is the 9 p.m. TNT game, so second consecutive national TV game for the Wolves, the second of four games in California in this West Coast swing. The third and final time that the Timberwolves and Clippers will face off this season. There's a couple of these weird, I guess there's always a couple teams in the West that they only play three times, but they split the first two. The first game was in mid-December, and that was, the Wolves got absolutely stifled offensively. They lost 99-88 in what's certainly an anomaly in today's NBA. That was a game both Paul George and Kawhi Leonard played, and they had a massive hand in pun intended when it comes to Kawhi, in holding the Timberwolves down offensively. This was a game, of course, no Karl Anthony Towns. This was mid-December. Gobert only had five shot attempts. Also no D'Angelo Russell in this game. So it was basically like we're at where we're at now, right? It was just Ant and Rudy. Ant had 19 points on 14 shots. Noel squeezed the trigger 16 times off the bench for 13 points. He led the Wolves in shot attempts. Kyle Anderson had 13 points on 10 shots in the starting lineup. And at the Clippers just used a balanced attack. Nobody scored more than 19 for them either. And it was just kind of an offensively challenged game. The Wolves actually led at halftime, but the Clippers got it together offensively in the second half. The next time these two teams faced off was early January. This was the game when Anthony Edwards had the hip issue, like a hip soreness, left the game. The Clippers did not bother to bring Kawhi Leonard or Paul George. I don't I don't think they traveled. Neither of them played. It was on the second night of a back-to-back, one of like three times the team has traveled from Denver to Minnesota for a back-to-back. They didn't play. So the Wolves built a big lead. They were up like 19 midway through the third quarter. They ended up building a 21-point lead going into the fourth. So Edwards never came back in the game with the hip soreness. So he only scored 5 points. The Wolves, it got a little dicey. The Wolves ended up winning by 13. It got closer than you'd like it to. They gave up 36 fourth quarter points to the Clippers. The Clippers got 21 from Norman Powell off the bench. They got 14 apiece from John Wall and Moses Brown off the bench in that game. The Timberwolves got 25 on just 12 shots from D'Angelo Russell. He attempted 10 free throws. Gobert was awesome, 25 and 21 in this game. 12, 7, and 6 from Kyle Anderson. Just a well-rounded performance. Jalen Noel was efficient, 14 on 8 shots off the bench. Of course, we don't know. Noel and Rudy Gobert are both questionable for Tuesday's game. They both missed Sunday's game. But it's a tale of, like, the first game, no D'Lo, but George and Kawhi play for the Clippers. The next game, D'Lo plays, and George and Kawhi don't. And, of course, the Wolves lose the first game. They win the second one. We don't know with this one what exactly that's going to look like. But the Clippers are a difficult matchup for Minnesota. They're obviously a difficult matchup for a lot of teams. But they're kind of middle of the pack offense and defense. And, you know, rebounding wise, they're a really good defensive rebounding team. They're kind of a mediocre offensive rebounding team. But again, the Wolves make everybody look like a good offensive rebounding team. So it's not a perfect matchup. They're well coached, right? Well coached teams, do a good job of exploiting what the Wolves do defensively, in my opinion, whatever that is. So last year it was blitzing defense, it was high wall coverage. This year it's the Wolves don't vary what they're doing a lot. They play a lot of drop, right? And if the off-ball defense isn't great, if it used to be D'Lo, if now it's, you know, Ant or whoever turns their head, like, back cuts are going to beat this team. Like, they're just not disciplined enough defensively. The bigger issue, though, of course, is offense. And if Kawhi and Paul George are playing, the Timberwolves are going to really struggle to score on the print, because it's just Ant, right? And you can play Ant straight up with either one of those guys and probably do okay. A lot of teams have just been straight trapping him wherever he is on the floor, trying their best to bring a double. My guess is the Clippers will put Kawhi on Ant and then just kind of shadow with another player. And Paul George probably will stay, you know, I don't think he'll guard Ant much. But we'll see how that shakes out. We'll see how the Clippers choose to guard him. But, I mean, the book's out, right? Like, especially with no Karl-Anthony Towns, and you add in potentially no Rudy Gobert, like, just send everything you got at Anthony Edwards. You can maybe turn him over. You can you can force him into a bad shot. You can force the ball out of his hands. All of those are good options if you're the other team. And there's nothing the Wolves have been able to, at least to this point, been able to show that they can handle that. So, you know, I'd be worried about this matchup, like, for the Wolves on Tuesday night. I mean, the Clippers are, at the moment, ahead of the Wolves in the Western Conference. They're fifth in the West. The Timberwolves are, I'm going to pull up where they are exactly right now. And there was only, on Tuesday, there was only one Western Conference team, excuse me, on Monday, only one Western Conference team playing. Let's see. The Timberwolves, as of right now, are ninth in the West. They're a half game ahead of the Pelicans, who actually did lose. They've lost four in a row now. The Zion-less Pelicans are a half game behind the Wolves. The Wolves are a half game behind Utah, who's now up in eighth. A full game behind Golden State, who's in seventh with the tiebreaker over Minnesota. The Clippers are up in fifth, which is two full games ahead of the Wolves. They're 33 and 30. So this is a really big game. The Wolves win, they'll get the tiebreaker over the Clippers for whatever that's worth. You know, and who knows at this point? They would be move within one game of the Clippers, but they would also have the tiebreaker. So that would be huge after having split the first two. So a big game for the Wolves, certainly a worrisome matchup in my opinion. We will not have a postcast on Tuesday with Marnie. We typically do. We do it after probably 95% of games, but we won't have a postcast Tuesday. I will do the full postgame podcast. That'll be Wednesday's show. So be sure to tune in Wednesday for all things Wolves Clippers for the postgame pod. That's all we have for you today though. The big thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen. Of course, this show is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. You can also watch on Locked On Sports Minnesota. That's an app on both Roku and Amazon Fire TV. You can follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and also at B Beacon with two B's, two E's, C-K. ESPN. Of course, the Locked On Wolves podcast is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. Now you can make your second listen the game-to-game NBA podcast. Every moment, every top performance, and every result. Locked On game-to-game covers every game from across the NBA with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Follow game-to-game on Locked On NBA. Available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.